Lord, in this room, you're standing here. And you love us, Lord, with an undying love, an enduring love, and a mercy that we could never understand, Lord. Let your grace and that mercy just flow into our hearts in a special way this morning. I pray that, Lord, the word will come in force and power. Amen. And may the word respond to it. Amen. May the deep respond to the deep, Lord. Amen. May a voice hear a voice and respond Amen. With a voice. Amen. For we are the final voice in this Amen. Final day, Lord. Amen. It's a lot that lays on us that you have determined, decided that we would be your final chapter, that we would be the crescendo in the symphony. We would be that day, that last day would be the day of Christ, would be our day. And we recognize our day and we see our message and we thank you for it, Lord. Bless your people, we pray this morning in your name. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate the worship this morning and just knowing that the Lord was pleased. Amen. And sometimes you have to create an atmosphere that pleases him. Amen. You have to say the right thing. Do the right thing. You have to find it. You don't be afraid to find it. Just find it. It's a relationship. Like a man and a woman, as the Solomon said, that one of the most mysterious things he ever saw was the way of a man with his maid. In other words, that beautiful chase in that relationship. God is chasing you, but you're also chasing him. So always be hungry to find a way to please him. To know that when you do, he does something. Remember this one thought. Whenever he comes, something good always happens.
Amen.
And I am telling you, he's here right Amen. Now. He's here right now.
Amen.
Let's just go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 15 and 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, 15th verse through 17. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. How many loves thus saith the Lord? You know, we don't mess around. This whole Bible is thus saith the Lord. Amen? And Paul is prefacing what he's about to say because maybe people didn't realize that the Lord Jesus was sharing this information. They missed it. Even the apostles might have misunderstood it. But Paul is saying, I'm telling you something right now that is thus saith, it's by the word of the Lord. You can anchor your soul on it. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Won't go before them to meet the Lord. We're going to go with them. Nobody's going first or second. Right? For the Lord himself, that means physically Christ Jesus himself, the one who died for you and me. He passed away, right? He will descend from heaven. And that descending is going to be done with a shout. How many can say praise God?
Amen.
With the voice of an archangel. Hallelujah. And with the trumpet of God. He's going to use three things and three unfolding events that will lead to us meeting him in the air. And I'm excited about that. And the dead in Christ will rise first. So we're not going to precede them. They rise first. We have our body change. Amen? Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Amen. May God bless his word. You may be seated at this time. I want to speak about 9 indisputable facts about the rapture. 9 indisputable facts about the rapture. Number 1, there is a rapture.
Amen.
Better get that straight right off the bat, right? The internet is just rife with people bad-mouthing the rapture. It's not a biblical teaching according to people who claim to have some kind of knowledge or training. The doctrine of the rapture was invented by Nelson Darby in the 1800s. All kinds of stuff is being spewed out there. The early church fathers did not teach about the rapture. These people have a problem reading the Bible. They want to read the early church fathers, but they don't want to read the Bible. But the fact of the matter is, they're wrong. And it's being done because Satan really fears the rapture. So he's got to counter it. He can't just let it happen, right? In this sermon tonight, today, this morning, my goal is not only to show by Scripture that the rapture is a fact, but also to debunk the false claims in that history is silent about the rapture, and it was only started in the 1800s. That's just false. I've read the writings of Augustine. I've read the writings of some of the Dark Age men, Columba, different ones. They all refer to the redemption of the church by Jesus Christ when he comes. How many believes that? and in fact, on the subject of the rapture, Irenaeus himself wrote these words, and therefore, when in the end the church shall be suddenly caught up from this, he was talking about nations going to the place where they totally reject God completely. We know that once the gospel has been preached to all the nations, it's done. How many understand that? And this is exactly what Irenaeus is talking about. He says, the church shall be suddenly caught up from this. It is said, there shall be tribulation such as has not been since the beginning. Neither shall be, for this is the last contest of the righteous, in which, when they overcome, they are crowned with incorruption. Hallelujah. We do not have to face or go into the great tribulation by the grace of God, because we meet the challenge by his grace and his help, and we overcome in this day, and we don't go in the tribulation period. He does not need to build any more character into his bride. She will have his character. Hallelujah. No man says, hey, listen, I'll marry you. Let's get engaged. But I'm going to put you through the Olympics. You know, you're going to suffer. I'm going to make you go through a gauntlet. I'm going to make you. Nobody does that. That's not how it works. Amen. A man finds a woman. He finds a good thing. He finds favor of God because he's finding his other half. Yes. He's finding a part of himself. Amen. Ephraim the Syrian, he was a deacon in the church in around 338 A.D., he also wrote these words, for all the saints and elect of God are gathered prior to the tribulation that is to come and are taken to the Lord. Just many things you can read throughout the early church writers that they truly understood the concept of the rapture. Can you say amen? Now, there's some who argue, hey, you know, the word rapture is not even in the Bible. It's funny that, you know, we think the Bible was written in English. It wasn't written in English. It wasn't written in really any language except maybe Hebrew, Aramaic, and maybe some in Greek, but not in English. But the word rapture is actually in the Bible. The word that we read is the word caught up. We shall be caught up together with the resurrected saints to meet the Lord in the air. And that word caught up is the Greek word harpazo, where you heard of the word harpy, which is just a Greek mythological creature that looks like an eagle and a lion. Kind of a cool creature if you think about it. But that's the reason for it, is because the Greek word harpazo means to reach down and grab something very quickly and pull it up to yourself. That's what harpazo means. The Latin, in the Latin translation of the Bible, uses the word raptus. Raptus is where we get our word rapture. So it wouldn't matter to me if the translators in English had put it there, that we who are alive remain shall be raptured with those to meet the Lord in the air. Can you say amen? Because it's the same word. The concept is absolutely in the Bible. You cannot miss it. It starts at the beginning and it shows up at the end. I mean, it's everywhere throughout the Word of God. Enoch was raptured. How many can say amen? Elijah was raptured without tasting death. Can you say praise God? Jesus did taste death, but he was resurrected, had a body change, was glorified, and was raptured right before the people's eyes. The Old Testament saints, the Bible tells us, when Jesus was caught up, they also were raptured with him. So isn't God good to give us a promise that there's a rapture coming for a whole body of people at the time when Jesus Christ comes again? We're in that. How many believers are in that time? Now, it is promised according to Jesus and the apostles that the church, the bride of Christ, at the end of the church age, will be raptured as well. How many's anchoring your soul on that? How many believes that is going to happen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just need to do a little something here. Hold on one second. Sometimes, you know, sometimes things get missed, right? And you don't even know it's missing until somebody does something, and then you realize, oh, that's what's missing. How many's ever experienced that? And I believe that sometimes, even in our lives, we are serving God, but maybe we know we're just missing something. We're just missing a little piece. And you know, once God adds that piece, he plugs you in, amen, and then it just lights up for you. And that's what I'm hoping is going to happen with us this morning. Now, I'm going to be taking this in two parts. I would love to preach the whole thing today, but we're not having a revival, apparently, because revival means preachers preach all day long, and people just keep going for it, you know? But, you know, I don't think that's going to happen here. So I'm going to do it in two parts by God's grace, amen? But listen, Jesus said this, and here's the place where I think Paul really anchors his thought about according to the word of the Lord. He means the word of the Lord Jesus, right? Jesus said in John 14 to the apostles, and this is at the Last Supper, the Passover, before he's going to be crucified, he's teaching them. John records so much that Jesus said from John 14, 15, 16, 17, that the other ones just kind of bypassed. But John really paid attention. Now, he says, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Why? Because he was God. Can you say amen? He was God in flesh. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And Paul says, "And we shall always be with the Lord." So, you know, I want you to just realize what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, look, it is your fears and your worries and your heart being troubled that's hindering you from really embracing my plans that I have for you. I've got great plans for you. I am going to be preparing a place for you. It's strange language to say in my Father's house, could be household, family, whatever, kingdom, are many mansions, houses, abodes, places to live. He may be referring to our new bodies. Can you say amen? Or the glorified condition, our theophanies, praise the Lord. Do you believe that? And I think that's exciting. Otherwise, you might say, well, maybe he's speaking of a real mansion where Brother Branham, you know, he went past Curtin Tommy, he saw a mansion up on a hill and his chair was there and all that stuff. So yeah, take it either way. I accept it both ways. Amen. Because I don't want to live in my mansion up there in this sick thing. And I don't want to go and just have a body and not have a mansion. So that's like take both of it. He's preparing a place for me, for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have a new body coming. Can you say amen? And he says, and I'm going to come again. He's not even referring in this statement to a coming to the earth, as you might would suppose, because he says, he uses weird language, I come again and receive you to myself. Normally you come again and you receive me. I'm coming to you. But he's coming, yes, because he's coming from heaven to air, and we're going to go from earth to air and meet him. That's how he's going to receive us unto himself. Are you excited about that? We shall be caught up with them in the air to meet the Lord. We shall ever be with the Lord. Jesus told his disciples that whoever is alive at the day of the great resurrection shall not die. Do you know that if you're still alive and the resurrection happens, you're not going to die? You are going to cheat death. You're going to rob death. You're going to do some amazing things because you're going to see a loved one and say, wait a minute, that's my mama, that's my daddy, that's my brother. That's you're supposed to be dead. I ain't dead. And you're going to recognize them. And when that happens, I believe there's no way for you to stay in your sin-sick body because our bodies are still sin-sick. Our souls aren't, thank God for that. But our bodies, right? Change is going to happen. They are resurrected first. We get a body change second. Then we all go together to meet the Lord in the air. So that's the exciting story. So Jesus was talking to Martha about her brother who had just passed away, Lazarus. And he says to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. She was a real believer. She knew the word. And she wasn't wrong about that. Because ultimately, Lazarus has to rise again, we know. She was right about that. But Jesus was trying to get a present truth to her. The present truth. The present message. She was misunderstanding. Your brother will rise again. He was speaking about right now. Right in this moment. But she had enough understanding how she'd been taught, and by maybe revelation even. Sometimes our revelation can get in the way of our revelation. You know, it's possible. Because it's not that it was wrong. Remember how the disciples asked Jesus, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's truth. That's going to happen. But they had the timing wrong. And he just says, listen, time, seasons, you don't need to know that. What you need to know is what's about to happen. Kingdom of heaven, he's like, Jesus is like, you're going to have us experience the kingdom of heaven because the power of the kingdom of heaven is going to come and dwell in you and endue you with power from on high. Just wait for it. It's coming and it's now. So they're way off in the future thinking it's now. And they had a reverse. She's thinking way in the future. He says, no, it's going to happen now. Isn't that powerful? I know that when he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. That's the term, resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives when the resurrection happens, watch, and believes in me shall never die. Those who are alive and remain shall be changed. Do you believe this? Yeah. Believest thou this? Can you say amen to Jesus? Word, you are going to be changed. Life is going to swallow up death. Victory is going to conquer the grave. Imagine that. Imagine that you might already have a plot of land in a graveyard somewhere in a cemetery with a stone that you paid for, and it's sitting there with your name on it, and it has a dash after your birthday, and no, it's a blank spot because there's no death, and then the grave that you have gets robbed. You never go there. Hey, brother, I just spent a lot of money on that stuff. Who cares? I think it's worth robbing yourself a little bit. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Now, why did God rapture Enoch? This is a good question to ask because it's very strange. Here's a guy out of the blue that, poof, he disappears. You know, why? Why did God rapture Enoch? And I believe this is why. He was a type. He was the perfect type of our day. Because Jesus made the statement in prophetic words that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man returned. How many believe that that's his way of saying the question, remember the three questions, when will these things be, when Jerusalem will be trampled down, when will the end come, and when will you come? So the question about his coming, and he says, look, it'll be like the days of Noah. And if you understand that, just before the days of Noah, Enoch was raptured. So before the flood ever came, Enoch was taken out. Can you say amen? So the Bible states that he was the seventh from Adam,
yes.
If you read in Jude, which signifies that God will rapture the bride at the seventh and last dispensation of the church. That's the day we're living in now. We're at the end of that thing. I mean, listen, saints, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm already in the cycle of it. You know, I know you might be thinking, what does it mean to be in the cycle of something? Well, a cycle of something is good. I mean, sometimes you're in the cycle of a season, right? So it just depends on how you look at it. But the cycle of something is a powerful thought, because I often think about how that the Bible says that they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings, mount up like eagles with wings of eagles. Amen. I love that, don't you? Because an eagle in the desert or anywhere really that mounts up is it's a kind of a term we use that I think somehow got translated from the English. It might be the same in Hebrew, I don't know, but it's a term that is like a man mounts up on a horse, right? It's climbing up. You're ascending, you're moving from one level to another. You can think of an eagle jumping off of a limb or jumping. That might be considered mounting up. But really the term, the idea that is being shared there is the eagle is actually already in the air, but he's mounting up. He's not flopping his wings. He's not stressing. He just knows where the thermals are, the thermal winds, and he catches them by just slight tweaking of his wings. And it can cause him to circle a bit, but he circles, and as he circles, he's actually going up in a circle. Every time he comes around where he was before, he's a little higher. Do you ever feel like sometimes you're going through the same test again? Oh, why do I have to keep going through this test? But don't worry, saints, you're at a higher position. Hallelujah. You're mounting up. You're in a cycle of the rapture. And you might have to cycle a few more times, but you're always going upward. Upward and onward. The high calling is pulling you up. Hallelujah. You're not where you used to be. You're not where you were. You've already overcome all that. But you say, oh, I'm facing the same trial. No, not really. You may lose, but you're still rising up. And then you win. Hallelujah. Because you just like, you know what? I'm tired of losing. You know when you win is when you get tired of losing. That's when you win. You're just like, oh, I'm sick of it. And the devil, who in the beginning when you first start flying as an eagle, he's a crow, you know, and he really bugs you, and he's a real nasty character, and he really scares you. But after a while, you're like, it's just him again. That bozo. Right? You remember St. Martin, whoever it was, just rolled over in his bed. I'm done with him. I'll deal with you in the morning. I got to get some sleep. The devil, you know, throws some sickness on you. Oh, just you again. I'll fix you. The Dr. Jesus is in the house. Amen. Amen. Now, that's A, and then B is he was raptured before the great flood, suggesting a pre-tribulation rapture. Look, the internet and everyone, I just told you, people, you know, debunking or trying to attack the rapture itself. But then there's a whole slew of Christian people who think they're smart, I guess, who are trying to talk about a mid-tribulation rapture, a post-tribulation rapture, and the church has to go through the rapture. How many understands the church goes through the rapture, but the bride doesn't? Praise the Lord. Nobody ever heard Brother Branham say that over and over again? He's saying, look, your church, because you're saved, you accept Jesus as your Savior, but you didn't go from Calvary to Pentecost. You failed to get to the upper room. But by God's grace, how many understands we're in the upper room? You're in it right now. You're hearing the word. You receive the word, and the Holy Spirit comes with it. Hallelujah. You receive your token. You receive that ticket to ride. You receive the Holy Spirit, and that makes you bride. That's the ring that slipped on your finger. Hallelujah. Unmerited grace. Praise the Lord. Mercy saves you, but grace fills you. Do you believe it? Mercy is what God takes away from you. He takes away your guilt, your condemnation. You deserve to die. He takes away the cross. He takes away all that. But then what is grace? Grace is what he gives you. He gives you his righteousness, his power, his strength, his healing, his deliverance. He gives you everything that he is, his inheritance. He hands it over to you. Now you have grace. Hallelujah. Mercy is not receiving what you deserve. Grace is receiving what you don't deserve. Don't you love him with all your heart?
Amen.
Now, since I mentioned that, that brings up the second fact. It will be a pre-tribulation rapture. He's not going to put his bride through that thing. That's where the wrath of God is poured out. Why would he do it? The bride has fully embraced that Jesus has taken her place in the under the judgment and wrath of God at Calvary. Do you understand that? Praise the Lord. A lot of people look at Calvary as a benefit to them. Jesus died for the whole world. I accept that. I believe that. And they can be saved based on that, I believe. But for you, you've moved your by revelation from just he died for us all to he died in my place. You start seeing an exchange happening. Calvary is a great place of exchange where he became you so you could become him. That's the whole difference right there. So it's a pre-tribulation rapture. This is the second fact. How many believes the first fact there's going to be a rapture? Oof. Then why are we sitting here? Let's go. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Number two, it will be a pre-tribulation rapture. To clarify, the tribulation period will be a time when God pours out his wrath upon mankind for his wickedness, but it's also primarily the purpose of preparing Israel to receive her king. That's really what it is. The redemption of the earth is going to happen, redemption of the foolish virgin is going to happen, but also redemption of Israel and 144,000. That's all going to happen, and they're going to receive their king. But they're going to receive their king with his bride. Isn't that exciting? You just happen to be able to be the bride. Isn't that great? We get to be the queen. They're going to have a king. They're not only getting a king, they're getting a queen. Isn't that cool? Now, it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 8, it's a little bit lengthy here, but I want you to kind of catch the thought the apostle is writing to the believers. He says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him." How many sees rapture in this verse? "We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as if from us, as though the day of Christ had already come. Let no one deceive you by any means." This was a deception in that day that they were teaching that the spirit that Christ had already come. "For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know that what is restraining..." What is restraining? It's really a who is restraining. Praise the Lord. "That he," the Antichrist, "may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." How many understands the Antichrist's spirit has already been floating around forever, since the early church, since the beginning. "But the specific man that is going to be revealed as the Antichrist is still up ahead of us." Amen. But watch what he says here. "And he who now restrains," so he's really speaking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, Christ is restraining, holding back this Antichrist person until the right time. "He who now restrains will do so until he," the Holy Spirit, "is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." So let's get these things down. Four things you need to know about what Paul is saying here. Number one, and these are in the order that they happen. Number one, there's a great falling away. I don't know about you, saints, but I can tell you it's already happened.
Amen.
It's done. Because there can't be a great falling away unless there's great truth. The greater the truth, the greater the fall. So the greatest of all truth has come. It is here. And now there's this big falling away. It's been going on for the last 10 years or so. And then number two is the restrainer is taken up. That's the rapture. D- Do you believe that? I mean, the Holy Spirit goes, you go with it. Come up here, come up hither, you go with it. The church ends, you go with it, right? You go with him. And then after that, the Antichrist is unveiled and the tribulation begins. Praise the Lord. And then number four, the brightness of King Jesus coming when he comes with us in Revelation 19. That's the brightness of his coming, the Battle of Armageddon. How many understands? He'll just destroy that whole thing. Oh, it's just simple. Paul is just teaching it there. John clears it up in the book of Revelation. Here is also 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 where he goes into it a little bit more. He says, "But I don't know, is there a cricket in here? Wow. Does somebody tell a joke? Stop telling those jokes. No, there's all right. You know, it's getting cold. It's getting colder, and the bugs are coming in. That's why there's... Is everybody here worried about EEE, triple E? Triple EEE. Everywhere you go, signs. Everybody's all worried. There's mosquitoes showing up in the house. I killed one last week. Esther killed one this yesterday. She goes, "Dad, I got a mosquito in the house." I said, "Oh, really? Uh-oh." Oh, the poor thing. You left the crack in the door. I said, "His little brothers can come." But she was really worried. And I said, "Esther," I said, "every day you get in your car and you drive, you could be hit by an 18-wheeler, yeah. Mack truck. Who keeps you? God." I said, "Who's going to keep you from a mosquito? God." She said, "That's good. I should think of that." And I said, "Amen. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Now, when he says day of the Lord here, it can very well be day of Yahweh or day of Jehovah, which would be the tribulation period. And you have to be able to compare that to day of Jesus, which is just before the tribulation, because that's when we're going to be raptured. Actually, we're in the day of Jesus. How many understand that? We're in the day of Christ. I mean, if there's any preparation time for the rapture, it's going on now. Don't wait till tomorrow. It's happening today. I trust that preaching to you right now is preparing you and getting you ready, because that's what this is all about. Right? So he says, the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as the labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And here it is. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren. Don't you love the way that all just, Paul is such a great writer, isn't he? And they shall not, they who are promoting peace and safety, look what we've accomplished, look what we've done. This peace and safety is going to end in sudden destruction, right? But they are promoting this, and they shall not escape when sudden destruction comes. But you, brethren, that's brothers and sisters, amen, are not in darkness, so that that day should overtake you as a thief. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, including rapture and resurrection through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many can say amen? They find that again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's beautiful. Now, the word that he uses there is they shall not escape, but you. Here's another place where I think Paul is getting this from. Luke 21, where Jesus has been teaching at his, you know, during that week that is just before he's going to be crucified. Luke 21:34, he's teaching, and he says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life." Notice that he compares being a drunkard when we're in the time of the coming of the Lord with someone who is full of anxiety. Now, I don't think any kind of little anxiety or anxiousness that you deal with is a problem, but people are overwhelmed with anxiety. I mean, they are full of superstition. Oh, don't do that. Don't walk over there. Don't walk under the ladder. Watch out for the black cat, and don't cross your legs, and don't step over a woman that's pregnant, you know, and all kinds of weird stuff that people believe. Religious people, Christian people, maybe around our ranks. I don't know. But listen to what he says. He compares those together, that how you can be weighed down, lest your hearts... There's something about the hearts I'm going to be preaching on by God's grace, our heart, our physical heart, but weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares, worries of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly. for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. How many can say amen? Amen. You see, the whole point there is there are things coming, and how many sees, don't think, oh, we got Donald Trump, the economy's good, the unemployment's low, everything's great, peace and safety. Watch out. Because it's coming. Believe me, there's some powers that be that are swinging the door the other way as fast as they can. Because Satan has a plan. We have to understand that. And until Jesus comes and stands on this earth, which will be after the tribulation period, this earth is going to be a mess. All right? So we're not relying on any man. But we want to be the ones that no matter what is going to end up hitting this earth, and it's coming, we will be counted worthy to escape. Now, I don't think escape means you go through it. That's not a great escape, right? Now, I have a way for you to escape jail. How do we do that? You're going to spend 25 years in it. I have a way for you to escape cancer. How are we going to do that? You're going to have it. That's not escaping it. If you're going to escape it, it means you get to go around it. You go above it, you go through it, but you can go in a way that you're not dealing with it. It's not part of you. You're in another realm, in another dimension. Amen. So I hope that's pretty clear right now that we do believe in a rapture, number one. And number two, it is a pre-tribulation, pre-wrath rapture. Can you say amen? Number three, it includes a body change. This is pretty new information because nobody really taught on it until God sent a messenger. I want to get to that in a minute. But, you know, people thought rapture. Well, you see paintings, old people, babies in a baby carriage going up in a rapture, cats and dogs going in a rapture. Maybe that's true. Who knows? But, you know, you see all kinds of things going. Everybody's going to rapture. Crippled people going into rapture. It's like, why would I want to go in a rapture with this old thing? Right. So Paul really deals with it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. Now see, Paul is even trying to point out that this is a bit of a mysterious thing, even though he's already spoken about a rapture. We know about being caught up, but he's going to break into it a little deeper. He says, I'm going to point out to you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, it's important to just pick up on the word sleep a little bit because a lot of false teachings about when you die, you know, your soul sleeps. Your soul is not aware. That's not true. When you die, you go to another place. You have another body. Can you say amen? You're well aware of your fellow saints that have made it, and you're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is no soul sleeping. It's just your body is sleeping. Wait a minute, Brother Elijah, my body's decomposing. It doesn't matter. God can have a little tiny spoonful of dust, and he can breathe into it, and then your body will reappear. Hallelujah. So, but we shall be changed. So sleeping is regarding the body. We shall be changed is regarding the body. Notice he says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Praise the Lord. For the trumpet, and actually in the King James, is at the last trump. And I just like that because to me it's an identifier. We are living in the day of Trump. Hallelujah. And because there's only two verses in the Bible that say Trump, I believe he's going to get a second term. That may be prophetic of the scriptures. That's the way God does things. But 1611 King James Version, all those 400 years or 500 years ago, prophesying and not even knowing they're prophesying. They're just like, let's use the word Trump. I think it'll be cool. Okay, yeah. Let's use it again. Okay, everywhere else, 40 other times, it's going to be trumpet. But I like the way God works, don't you? At the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. What is he talking about? Dead. If you're dead and you're raising something, you don't care about the spirit. That's not really dead. The soul's not dead. It's the body that's dead. And when the spirit and the soul come back to the body, it has to rise. Can you say amen? And so it is the body that's rising, and the corruption is the body. That's the issue of the body. You remember how the Bible talks about a prophetic statement about Jesus, that he will not leave my soul in hell, nor will he allow corruption, right? So it's talking about his body, his soul, yes, but his body. is the important part there. And it says, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. What's he talking about? We who are alive and remain shall be changed. Not just caught up with them. That's going to happen too. But before being caught up, we're going to be changed. Think, oh, this was just something Brother Branham brought. He brought it from the Word. People think because God sends the prophet, he has new word for us. He doesn't. That's something you got to understand. He made it very clear. He says, look, God had a writing prophet called Moses. Then he had a New Testament writing prophet called Paul. In the end time, he has the last prophet, not to write anything, but to interpret what's already been written. So everything we believe goes straight back to the Word of God. Do you believe that? How many understands that? Now watch. For this corruptible, he's talking about the change. How many can just point with me? Everybody point to your body. This corruptible must put on incorruption. Wouldn't that be great? Go to your closet. Today I'm going to wear not that suit. Not that. I'm going to wear incorruption. Incorruption. Yes. Now I'm 20 years old again. Isn't that exciting? This corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. No more sickness, no more death. It's over. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, quoting the Old Testament. Death is swallowed up in victory. Praise the Lord. Why do you fear death? Why would we fear death? We're going to conquer that thing. We're going to beat it. It's the last enemy. We have to defeat every enemy, and that's the last one. And we're going to beat it by swallowing it up. What's going to swallow it up? Victory. Victory. What is victory? Jesus is victory. The Word is victory. The life of Christ in me is victory. That's swallowing up this death. Can you say amen? Death is swallowed up in victory. He's talking about a rapture. See, if you die, if you physically die, and you go in the grave, you're not swallowing up death. Death is swallowing up you. But the resurrection will reverse that. But if you're alive and remain when the resurrection happens, you get to actively swallow up death. You get to do what Paul says here. He starts singing a song that I think he wrote. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? In other words, you're just taunting it. In other words, you just had a body change. You're going, ha, ha, death, you lost. I just robbed you. You are a loser. Hallelujah. You don't care. You're thumbing your nose at it. You're just saying, see you, death. I'm taking off. I'm out of here. I'm not afraid of you. Hallelujah. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, Hades, where's your victory? Hallelujah. Your victory is greater than it. Job 19, he says it this way. I know that my Redeemer lives, for he shall stand in the last day on the earth. And after my skin worms eat my body, he says, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. Wow, that's powerful stuff. In my flesh, what kind of flesh? New flesh, a new body. Romans 8:23, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. How many is groaning in this thing? Amen. This corrupt, mortal house, this thing. What are we doing? Why are we groaning? Because we're eagerly waiting for the adoption. Now, how many understand? You have the spirit of adoption, but you're waiting for the adoption. It's been taught throughout many generations, I'm sure, that we are adopted children. In other words, we didn't belong to God, but he cared about us, he felt sorry for us, he saved us, and he adopted us. And they're trying to use our normal procedure for adoption here today that we use in America as what Paul was talking about. The word adoption in the Bible there is talking about the placing of a son. So what it really means is you're already a son. You were already a sheep before you heard the voice of the shepherd. It says, therefore my sheep shall hear my voice, and they won't follow anyone else. Well, what were you before you heard the shepherd's voice? Not a goat. You were a sheep. And you didn't belong to anybody else. You belonged to him. Just the voice made you recognize it. Amen. And so he says here, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, or the down payment of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now, the redemption of your body is when you receive a change in your body. Praise the Lord. Our bodies will be changed and glorified like Jesus was. Now, one more scripture, but before I go there, I want to just say this. Some of us work hard. Some of us work out. Some of us go to a gym. Some of us have a little gym in our homes. We work. We're trying to keep in shape. I want you to know this is the best weight loss clinic you're ever going to experience. Because immediately you're going to be the perfect weight, the perfect everything. Perfect height, perfect weight, perfect teeth, perfect singing voice. God's even going to heal your vocal cords. How you like them apples? Brother James, sorry, but you're going to be in competition now. Brother James can sing. But everything is going to be perfected. Perfected. You'll still be you. You'll look like you. You'll look like you when you were in your 20s. Hallelujah. Early 20s. Not a wrinkle. Not a spot. Perfect shape. Perfect everything. Perfect weight. Never going to change. You're going to be perfect. Hallelujah. You'll be so changed like Jesus was. He was so changed that he walked with two men who were his disciples and they didn't recognize him. Because the other guy said he looked like he was just a little over 50. He said, you know, or not quite over 50. But he looked so young. They didn't even know who he was. They kept talking with him. Here it is. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. For our citizenship is in heaven. I know you want to be an American, or you think you're an American, or you think you're an African, or whatever. But I'm telling you right now, by redemption power, your citizenship is in heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. Praise the Lord. Our city is there. New Jerusalem. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You're just here as an ambassador. You're here to share the good news of your city. And you're telling people, you got to get there. And you're trying to find the other citizens and bring them in. Amen. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly, here's our wording again, eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Do you believe that? According to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. That's Philippians chapter 3. So I hope you understand that the rapture includes a body change. There will be a resurrection, and there will be a body change. And then we will be glorified. All that's got to happen, and then we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You're going to be redeemed, changed, and then glorified. Praise the Lord. Now, before we go to number 4, and this is the one I'm going to stop on, then we're going to hit 5, 6, all the way to 9 next Sunday, or the next Sunday by the grace of God. But before we go to number 4, a little evidence of the body change is also very nice, isn't it? The prophet of God made it very clear. He says, what is healing? Healing is just you tapping into your body change early.
Amen.
You're taking a dividend.
Hallelujah.
From the future. Now, I know maybe the rapture is going to happen in 10 years or whatever, but let's just say that you need a little rapture benefit right now.
Amen.
You know, I sell life insurance, and in life insurance, there are certain conditions that can happen that you can draw on your death benefit early. But we're drawing on a life benefit. And you get to draw on it early. Why we don't draw on it, that's up to you. You meet the qualifications. I don't know, as your agent, how many times I got to tell you, you're meeting the qualifications. Somebody need healing here?
Amen.
I need healing. I'm pulling on it. I'm like, Lord, I got to have a piece of it now. I get to taste of the powers of the world of the age to come. Glory to God. So I want you to not just hear me say it and not just believe it, but just go ahead and experience. Experience the rapture early. Praise the Lord. You say, I don't think that's possible. Why not? Isn't that what Jesus demonstrated with Lazarus? He was dead. He was rotten. He was stinky. It was terrible. And he raised him from the dead. He raised him from the dead. He raised him early. He was demonstrating the day of resurrection early. Of course, Lazarus got old and died like a normal person. So he's going to be raised again. I know when Lazarus died, he was like, I went through this once. I'm going to do it again. Kind of cool for him. Number 1, there is a rapture. Number 2, it's a pre-tribulation rapture. And number 3, a body change is included in this rapture. Number four, it requires a special kind of faith. And because if it didn't, the rapture would have happened already. It would have happened in Paul's day. That's why Paul used language like, and we which are alive. We. Paul thought he thought the Lord was coming right back. But I believe later we started to understand it. And it wasn't really until John's revelation that the understanding that there would be a prolonged period of church. In other words, a period of God's redemption. He's going to stretch that out because he's not willing that any should perish. Amen? But number four, it requires a special kind of faith. By faith, the Bible says, Hebrews 11, by faith, Enoch was taken away, was caught up, was translated, was raptured, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. And for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And it's very clear, according to Hebrews 11, he pleased God with faith. And he pleased God with a special kind of faith. Because as he walked with God, his faith was growing. And as his faith grew, it turned into a kind of faith that God says, I can't leave you here anymore. You got to come with me. Does that make sense? This is where I want you to understand, unless you walk with God, your faith doesn't change. In fact, your faith can rot and deteriorate. But if you walk with God, your faith will continue to transform into rapturing faith.
Amen.
We'll get into that more next time. Here's a quote. Go wake Jesus. He says, I might not have faith enough to be like Enoch, who took an afternoon walk with God and didn't have to die, just walked up home. Now, Brother Branham is being honest here. In 1963, well after the seals was preached, he says, I pray for that kind of faith. Because that's the kind of faith we're going to have. We who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall be changed. He quotes the scripture in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, caught up together with the resurrected dead. He says, to meet the Lord in the air and forever be with him. So he quotes the scripture. He's saying, I may not have the faith. He says, I don't want to stand in the way of anyone who does. But he says, but that's the kind of faith I'm praying for. Praise the Lord. It's a rapturing faith. And if he had it, he wouldn't have died. He would have gone. He would have been changed. That's the whole point of rapturing faith. Even though, let's call it resurrection faith, is about the same thing. You're believing, I'm going to be raised again. I'm going to get a new body, and I'm going to be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. So I'm part of the rapture. But the faith that that's required to have a body change is a different kind of faith. It's also based on timing. Because we could be in the season of it. We're in the cycle of it. But there's going to be an exact time when your body will be changed. And it can't just be one here and one there. It's going to be everybody around the world all at the same time. One will be, the Bible says, working in the field. The other one working together and be taken. The other guy's in bed sleeping. He's taken. You know, some woman is over here in the afternoon. She's taken. So all around the world, all different times of the day and night, the rapture is going to happen. It's going to be a resurrection and a rapture. Praise the Lord. So it's also based on timing, but it's also based on nailing the timing, because you don't want that to happen and you're not in it. You don't, and I don't want to be the one standing there with no wedding garment on. Friend, how did you get in here? You don't have a body change. What's wrong with you? You know, you knew about the wedding. You're part of the wedding. You're here at the wedding, and yet you don't have a body change. That's going to be the kind of discussion that Jesus is referring to that's going to happen around the ranks of this message. You knew about a prophet. You knew about a word. You knew about a message. You knew about the truth. You knew about the end time. You see all the signs. You're part of the believers. You're part of this. But why aren't you changed? Didn't you get your robe? Praise the Lord. Now, listen, saints, if you want to know, how many wants to know where to get your new body from? You want to get your robe? Well, Jesus teaches another place where he says only thieves and robbers come in by any other way, but the people who come in right come in through the door. And he says, I am the door. So unless you come through the door, which is Christ, which is the Word, you don't get a body change. And not only that, but according to old Hebrew customs, the porter, the doorman, the guy who's at the door is the guy who provides a way for you to get your feet washed, to get your robe changed, you know, anoint you with oil. So I'm telling you, God has sent us the porter, which is the Holy Spirit under the spirit of Elijah, who is coming this day to bring us everything we need. Hallelujah! To have a body change. It's all available. So in other words, that guy, he was, the Bible says he was speechless because he didn't want to bother with, he didn't want to deal with the porter. He didn't want to deal with the normal way. He wanted to do it his own way. And you know, I'm telling you right now, it won't work. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed," in other words, he's speaking about finally, if you die, if you pass away, "we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven." He's speaking about theophany. Everybody understand that? You have a word body waiting for you. "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened." How many is burdened in this tent? This tent can be a burden. Hallelujah. "Not because we want to be unclothed, not because we want to get rid of this tent, but further clothed." In other words, God's going to change this one, and then he's going to put glory upon it. "Further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." Can you say amen to that word? So what Paul is really dealing with here is, look, he's trying to get us to set our affections not on things of this earth, not on this groaning tabernacle we're living in, but on things above, on the unseen. Look to the unseen. The unseen is eternal. You have an inheritance reserved in the heavens. You have a glorified body, a glorified condition that's going to glorify your body. Can you say amen? That's the whole plan. So he wants you to have faith and believe it. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Do you believe that?
Amen.
And here's a powerful wording that the prophet of God brought. In the first seal, he says, Enoch walked with God for 500 years and had a testimony. He pleased God with rapturing faith. I love that. Amen. Listen, saints, I'm going to tell you something right now. The word of God that has been brought to us in this end time is producing rapturing faith. It's producing it. Now, you may still go by way of the grave because of the timing. Not because you lack it, because you have it. But the grave may have one little last victory over you, but you get the last laugh. You get the last victory. So don't fear that. Just know it is a doorway. It is a graduation. You are just passing from one dimension to another, and then you'll come back around and pick up, Brother Branham says, pick up. You will pick up your redeemed body. Not like a taxi driver. You're going to pick up yourself. And I want to just hope that this morning, you're not here today for me to pick you up. You didn't need to drink coffee to get a pickup. I want you to understand that my encouragement to you this morning is that you have inside you already the power to pick yourself up. You have power to lay your life down. You have power to raise it up again. It's already inside of you. That's by the word of the Lord. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. And there's people, saints, all around us, hallelujah, that have gone on before. They're waiting on us. They're believing on us. They are like spectators now, but we're running this race. They're believing you. They trust you. Hallelujah. How many believes that we are surrounded by a cloud of many witnesses? They're saying, you can make it. You can get there. You can do this. You can pick yourself up. Hallelujah. Because redemption is happening now. The book of redemption is open and revealed. The bride is going into redemption faith. It's powerful. Keep walking, saints. Don't give up. This is not the time to quit. This is not the time to surrender. This is the time to forget those things which are behind and press on toward the prize, toward the mark, toward the high calling, toward the rapture, toward the body change. Keep pressing. Keep going. Go, go. Don't stop. Lay aside all the sin and the weight that easily besets us and clings to us. that's hindering your rapture, and press on, because they are waiting for you. They cannot be made perfect without us. They're waiting on us. The resurrection cannot happen without us. And the rapture sign, I'm telling you, has already been given. You really don't even need another rapture sign. The rapture sign is here. You say, are people looking for signs of the rapture? Maybe more than one sign, obviously. But there's this one here, Luke 21:25, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations. We've seen that. Perplexity, we've seen that. The sea and the waves roaring, we see that. Men's hearts failing. By the way, seas and waves roaring is not just physical, but also the anarchy that's happening in this world today. Look at the masses of people that are protesting everything under the sun. Amen. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to happen, look up, straighten up, it says. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. Do you believe your redemption has drawn nigh? Listen, I don't know how you can have any other sign or anything else you need in your life to know, but this thing is supernatural. It's not made by man. It's made by God, and it's a sign to us that we are getting ready to have a body change and go get caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Look, you'll see the sign of the Son of Man in the sky, a cloud coming. He's coming with power and great glory. Power that's already in us. Glory, because you're going to get a body change. Are you excited about that? How many believes that with all your heart? Let's have the musicians come. We're going to deal with the five other facts of the rapture. Number one, the nine facts. Number one, first one, there is a rapture. How many can say amen to that? Number two, it is a pre-tribulation rapture. Thank God, I'm glad he's counting me worthy to escape. You're hearing this, you're going in the rapture, you're blessed. Right, number two. Number three, it includes a body change. How many's excited about that? Which you can experience a little early. I'm getting ready to experience it early. I love that idea, amen? Grab onto it, I've already have, and I'm gonna do it again. It requires, number four, it requires a special kind of faith. Brother Branham said, we hardly have enough faith for a toothache anymore. How are we going to have a faith for a body change? Right? It takes that kind of faith. But without going into the fifth and sixth and seventh, I want to just again repeat to you, we have a more sure, more certain word of prophecy in our day, because God has sent a word to cause us to move into the special kind of faith. It is here right now. The Bible talks about faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God. Is that true? But it also says, how can they hear without a preacher? So preachers today have an interesting job. If you're in the calling of the hour, the preacher's job is to move you into rapturing faith. Amen. Just by preaching. That's it. And that's what I'm doing. Yes. Spoken word is creating a faith that's going to change your body. Yes. That's it. It's simple. It's not complicated. It's simple. It doesn't make me anything special. I have to preach to myself. You don't see me standing here with my new body, do you? I know I get younger every day, but you still, it's not my body. No, I'm just, but you know what I'm saying? I need it too. But we have this word that'll change you if you believe it. Now, how many can say, I believe? I believe it. I believe it. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we come before you knowing that you are God. There's none other than you. There are no gods beside you. You're not one person of many persons. You're one person, one being, one God. Your personhood was told out in the very life and ministry of Jesus Christ, came here as one of us, a man, but was filled completely with you 100%. You became man that we could become part of your family. And Lord, we just want to thank you today, because your word is speaking deep into our hearts. And there's something in us that's crying a deep calling back and saying, oh God, let this faith, let this kind of faith, let this kind of faith that will change my body grow, Lord, grow in me. And I feel it is. I feel it's moving. It's changing. It's changing my thoughts, my thinking. It's taking possession of my inner being. The battlefield of the mind is getting won, thank God. And when it's finished, when the final battle of the mind is done, the body changes. I thank you for that, Lord. You're changing me now, each and every day, in Jesus' name. Do you want to know? Where I'm going soon, if anybody asks you. People are still questioning where I'm going. Where I'm going soon, just tell them, going up yonder, going up yonder. Oh, I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Sing it again. Going up yonder, I'm going up yonder. Yes, yes, I'm going. How many feels yourself rising? Your faith is rising. Hallelujah. Accumulating into Jesus to be with my Lord. Well, you know, I can take the pain. It's only temporary, the heartaches that they bring. I've got the comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. You believe it? Amen. Well, if God gives me grace, and he's given me grace, I know I'll run this race until I see my Savior face to face. Let's all stand as we sing it. I am going up yonder. Yes, I'm going up yonder. Oh, yes, I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Let's all go together now. We're going up yonder. Oh, yes, we're going up yonder. Hallelujah! How many's going? Going up yonder to be my Lord. Well, I can take the pain, just a little more pain, and it's over. Take the pain. I have the comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. Well, if God gives me grace, I'll run this race. Yes, Lord, my Savior, I'll see him face to face. Hallelujah, I'm going up yonder. Yes, I'm going up yonder. Oh, I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. And we are going up yonder. Hallelujah, we're going up yonder. Yes, we're going up yonder to be with my Lord. Hallelujah. How many's ready? How many's ready? Do you feel your faith just growing? Now I'm going to dismiss you in the name of the Lord, and I want you to go by God's grace. I want you to greet everybody, shake their hands, and just say hi. But I send you with rapturing faith. You didn't come here. If you came here without it, you're leaving with it. So, and now it just has to grow. Walk with the Lord with rapturing faith. That's the kind of faith you got to walk with today. That's the kind of faith that makes you overcome, helps you to win victories, it helps you to do better. rapturing faith. It's a faith that puts you above and beyond. You're looking down on the enemy. You're not looking up at him. Brother Mark? Yes, Wednesday night. We have Brother Ernie Villanueva coming in from Washington, D.C. Our precious brother is going to be speaking to us Wednesday night, so I want you to be here. Don't miss out. He's been preaching in Rhode Island and different places in Connecticut, so it's just wonderful to have him here. He has family in Rhode Island, so by God's grace, he can break and melt down those old stony Catholic hearts and bring them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Once and for all. Do you believe that? By God's grace, let's just believe. Amen. What song we have? One day I knew into the offering I knew that final step into my theophany. One day I know the final step set me free. My theophany, I hear it calling me, and it calling come up a little higher into the perfect word. You know you gotta come up a little higher. How many can just go a little higher? A little higher. Agape love, oh, come up. Come up, little eagles. Higher. You can soar through the heavenlies. My theophany, I hear it calling me. You have a body. Amen. The next hill I look, oh, I see victory. Around the next turn in the road, that old devil, he's got to flee. God's army is marching, marching. Come on, slay that old enemy. My dear, I can see King Jesus coming for me. Amen, let's go. I'm undone. Take a step towards my theophany. One day I'm gonna take another step right into my theophany. Hallelujah! One day I know that final step, it is going to set me free. My theophany is gonna calling me. What's it calling? It's calling, come up a little higher into the perfect word. Come up, just a little higher, a little higher into agape love. Hallelujah, come up a little higher into the heavenlies. My theophany, I can hear it calling me. And just like Enoch, you know, you're just walking with God. You're just walking with God. You're walking with God. And you keep coming up a little higher. Every service, you come on Sunday. You come on Wednesday. You just come up a little higher and a little higher. You hear your theophany. Not me, the preacher. Your theophany speaking to you. Come up, come up, come up. Hallelujah. Just keep walking. Because like Enoch, you're going to step into your theophany. Hallelujah. You'll be changed. Oh, one day. Come up. Do you believe it? To my theophany, one day I'm gonna. Another step into my theophany. One day I'm gonna take a step, and it's going to set me free. My theophany, I can hear it calling me, and it is calling, come up, a little higher, come up, the perfect word, you gotta come up, woo, hallelujah, the agape love, you gotta come up, a little higher. You can soar into the heavenlies, my theophany. I hear it calling me. Do you hear your theophany?
theophany? Is he calling you? Do you hear him? Amen. How many can hear it? Something's calling me. Come out of that sickness. Come out of that sin. Come out of that weight. Come out of those things. Come a little higher. A little higher. And your theophany is right there. Praise the Lord. People say, what'd you hear today at church? Just say, I heard my theophany. What? What are you talking about? What did the preacher say? I don't know, but I heard my theophany. God bless you. God be with you. You're dismissed. Greet each other in the name of the Lord. God bless you. And if you can't leave, just one day I'm going.